Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
In the studio, live today, Mr. Dennis Prout of Prout Financial Design here on New Retirement Radio. Welcome back, sir.
Boy, it's great to be in the house. And joining us is Shay.
Hello.
You weren't here last week, right?
Was
it last
not.
Week? Today might get a little wild.
I feel it.
Dennis is not wearing a tie, so just a warning to the audience.
What will you do?
What is wrong with this picture? Dennis is not wearing a tie.
It's crazy. I mean, you know.
What are we talking about today, Dennis?
We're talking about when Roth IRAs do not work. Well, Dennis,
what?
All you talk about are Roth IRAs. I mean, really, you're like a broken record.
Mm-hmm.
Broken. Speaking of that rabbit trail, our granddaughter hit the age of 2 yesterday, and I sent her a recording, you know, of singing happy birthday. And what did they send back? A recording as well.
Oh,
hi, Papa. We love you. You know,
yeah,
it's fun. Technology.
Beautiful.
Yes.
That
so
is
I don't
real.
Know where that came from.
That is amazing, isn't it? The technology.
Oh, my gosh. So the Roth IRA, excuse me, when doesn't it make sense? When Roth IRAs don't work. Big article this last weekend in the Wall Street Journal. I looked at it with interest over the weekend. And sometimes that sort of needs to brew, but name of the article is When to Ignore the Crowd and Shun a Roth IRA. And we want to talk about that because this can also not only add light to the Roth conversion, but also other financial topics and or areas that you may want to think about.
I like the stat right there about how many people started converting once they were allowed. I mean, that's amazing.
It is. Congress first allowed all owners of regular or traditional IRAs to make full or partial conversions to Roths in what year, Ron? What year?
That would have been 1989, Dennis.
Hmm.
He said with confidence. I don't know. I have no idea.
Much later.
Much later.
Wasn't that long ago, actually.
They didn't have
Roth IRAs.
It was
a year. It was 2-0 or the
beginning. That would have been 2007, Dennis.
Close. 2010.
Okay.
2010. Isn't that amazing? I mean, obviously, it was only 8 years ago now. Crazy, right?
Yes.
Since then, savers have done more than 1 million conversions and switched more than $75 billion. That would include me. I'm among those 1 million. From traditional IRAs to Roth IRA accounts to Roths. While traditional IRAs can grow tax-free, withdrawals are typically taxed at ordinary income rates, whatever your income tax bracket is. That's what they're taxed at. Account owners of those IRAs who are 70 and a half and older must take payments to deplete their account over time. Well, how much is that at 70 and a half? It's about 3.75% or so.
Is there a particular time of the year when those RMDs, required minimums, when those are due? Does it vary from person based on their birth date, or is it all like every July everybody has to do an RMD?
Great question.
Thank you.
Lots of misinformation out there about that.
The
really?
Wild God. Sorry.
So you have the whole year to take your RMD from no matter which place, whether it's a beneficiary IRA. Age is not the limiting or the defining factor, if you will, on a beneficiary IRA. When you inherit a beneficiary IRA from a parent, generally, you have to take required minimum distributions every year after the year of the account owner's death.
Okay.
All right. But in a regular IRA, where you've been funding it, you're 70 and a half, generally you're going to be taking it first in the year in which you turn 70 and a half. and you have the whole year to do that from January 1 to 12/31.
All right.
And if you don't take it, the penalty is?
50%.
Thank you.
50%. I thought I read something and it said like nonprofits like the Conservation Group, for instance, not them, but as an example, knew that in July all of these RMDs would be coming due, and somehow you want to communicate with those people in case they don't need it and they can do a donation to charity.
They can.
But it's just random throughout the year.
It's random throughout the year. But many people may do their required minimum distribution in the fall, which is what we see quite a bit of.
Okay.
So that's probably where that comes from, Ron.
Got it.
But we have Shelley Osborne in our office, and she is dedicated to RMDs for clients, and she's already passed, you know, over 50% of our clients have already been through that process.
We do more than 300 of those per year. Mm-hmm. I just saw the stat the other day. She keeps us informed of where she's at.
All right.
So she's on it. Gives us a weekly update and keeps clients informed, and that's a big deal, because if you miss that, that's a steep penalty.
So when on earth would a Roth IRA not work?
Well, if you want to give your IRA to charity.
I'm about to call Ed Slott.
Yeah?
No.
Let's get Ed on the phone now.
Oh, really? That's intriguing there. You brought that up. And
if you want to give your IRA to charity anyway, if you name a contingent beneficiary as a charity.
Okay.
Your wife doesn't want to take even a portion of it. She can disclaim a portion or all of it and give it direct to that charity. See it for herself at that point. But if it's a regular IRA, then that money is never taxed. Never taxed.
If it's a regular IRA, the money's not taxed.
Never. Because the portion that you didn't take, obviously you didn't have to pay tax on. It's going to be 100% taxable to those who take it. But if it goes to charity, it's 100% non-taxable. Talk about some of the best money to give to a charity. It's your IRA or 401k or even portions thereof.
But what if you do that with a Roth IRA?
Then that's a waste. You know, because you've already paid the tax on it. It's never going to be taxable. So generally you want to give those monies to individuals.
Got it.
Either children, well, spouse first, children or grandchildren or, you know, dogs. Sometimes those do come first.
Could happen.
But it has to be an individual. It cannot be an animal.
Got it.
Which is kind of depressing for some, I'm sure. So the Roth IRA, that's one reason it may not make sense to do. So there are several. Seniors who need the money, number one. No one should go broke converting if they need the funds to live on.
Yeah.
So if you're going to need the funds more quickly as an income, then the Roth conversion probably doesn't make sense. Generally, the break-even point on converting is about 7 to 9, 8 to 10 years because of the tax that you pay up front. So the three things to think about, and I'll be giving a quiz later.
Okay.
The three things to consider before converting is, do I have the tax to pay outside? Can I pay the tax that's going to be due with outside money?
Okay.
Number two, is my tax bracket going to be the same or lower in the future? Not sure. Okay. That's another thing to think of, another qualifier. Number three, do I have the 8 to 10 years to leave it in there? Do I have time to let that grow? And I would add a fourth. Does my spouse and or children have a bent toward long-term saving? I hear laughter, okay? But if they do, I was thinking specifically of children there, but if they do have that bent, then the leverage afforded by the Roth can be incredible. If they can let it continue to grow, even portions of it, because it is totally non-taxable. It is free money in every shape, form, and fashion. Stunning.
Stunning.
Not taxable in any form or fashion by any entity.
By any entity.
If you make...
Unless your estate's worth more than $25 million, but we're not going to worry about that right now.
Okay, but if you make too much money, the Roth IRA also doesn't make sense. You're not allowed to do it, correct? There's rules around that.
That's if you're contributing money.
If you're contributing.
New money to a Roth. If you're converting, there is no income limitation.
Okay.
Isn't
okay.
that radical?
Mm-hmm.
You could be making $1 million.
$1 million. Yes.
I can't believe that you had that. We're on the same wavelength, Ron.
That's amazing.
$1 million.
Well, he was queued up anyway. He was just waiting in the wings. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Yes. So
you could be earning $1 million.
You could be earning $1 million. Earnings.
Earning.
Taxable earnings. That doesn't matter. You can still do a conversion. Still do a conversion. I never cared for that religion anyway. I've converted.
But you can't contribute to it, Roth, if you're making $1 million? Is it based on earnings or net
worth? It's based on earnings now. Here's something interesting. You could earn $1 million.
Right.
And if you don't have access to a retirement plan, well, who earning $1 million doesn't have access? You couldn't believe it. Now, there are some out there who don't have access to a retirement plan. He or she could do or make a Roth IRA contribution. And if they're over 50, how much would that be? How much?
If they're over 50, they could make a Roth. I mean, what percent or how much money?
How much money?
Like a
how
limit?
How much money?
How much money? As much as they,
the limit.
Per year?
If they're over 50, yes.
16,000.
There is a six in it.
6,500.
Excellent. She wins the prize. We'll make sure and pick up some salted caramels for you there at Kilwin's.
Thanks.
Those are rather addicting, by the way.
We gather that.
Yes.
So if you here's the Roth IRA 2018 income range. If you're single,
different number
is $120,000 to $135,000.
Mm-hmm.
If you're married, filing jointly,
it's graduated down the amount that you can contribute based on that. It's a phase out range.
Got
correct.
It. And 2018, it's if you're married, filing jointly is $189,000 to $199,000, and married filing separately is $10,000. So, lots of details.
Yeah. So don't file separately. It's not a good deal. Now, there is no age limitation for making a Roth contribution if you're eligible. You could be 75 years old. 80 years old.
You can open a Roth account when you're 18, correct?
As long as you have earned income, yes. Earned income. Before that, there isn't an age 18 limitation. So if you're 14 years old, your parents can make a gift to your Roth IRA, to your own, and you could use it for your education, Ron, if you were 14 at that point.
Or just work towards retiring by the time you're like 40.
Or use it. Yes.
For?
Well, there may be some penalties involved, giving timing and all that sort of thing. But used for education, the Roth IRA may be the best instrument out there because there's no 10% penalty.
If you pull it out
and
early.
And it's tax-free anyway.
Okay.
So normally, of course, it's just because of its tax-free status. And it's not counted as an asset against the FAFSA.
That's
the
right.
The FAFSA forms that students many times will have to fill out and or their parents, of course, for that child education.
The Roth.
Assistance. Yes, the Roth IRA. So reasons not to convert, those who believe they'll be in a much lower tax bracket in retirement. I'm going to be lower at that point.
Most people, I would think.
Well...
Well, I was going to say, most people probably make less in retirement, but whether it changes their brackets, I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. Depending on the amount of deductions that they have, children and so forth, horses, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, those who just cannot bring themselves to pay the tax. So that would be all the accountants in the audience. Now, accountants have a particular negative view on Roth conversions. Why would you ever pay more tax now than you need to? Do you hear me? Hear me. Now, I'm making fun somewhat of accountants, and I apologize. But they approach generally, again, They hate it when a client has to pay more tax than they otherwise would have. They don't like it. So beware of that view, generally, from the accounting audience. Especially on large IRAs or those who don't trust the government to keep the tax-free deal. Well, what if my IRA doesn't remain, my Roth doesn't remain tax-free? They could change the taxes on the IRA and the Roth. They could change the tax on either one. So the laws are meant to be changed with those in Washington, D.C. I think they have that general. I think it must be a plaque up on the one of the walls there.
Clarification, somebody wanted to say, you can withdraw from a Roth at any age, or is there a certain age that you have to be in order to withdraw?
You can withdraw your principal at no tax. There, if you've converted it, there may be a penalty. But if it's a contribution, there is no tax on the withdrawal.
Does it matter what – you can do that at any age?
At any age.
At any age, okay.
Yes. Now, the gain may be taxable if you take it out within the certain, 5 years or age 59 and a half, that sort of thing.
Okay.
We have a phone call?
We have Lucia is on the line from Bel Air for Dennis Prout. Good morning, Lucia.
Yes, I was just listening to this last comment. I think you answered it there, but my question was when you said that parents can contribute for the child to make the Roth IRA establishment,
yes.
And then later use it for education. My thought was that after a five-year holding period, they're still not of age to make a withdrawal because I think the Roth was initially established for retirement purposes. But now, in listening while I was waiting to lodge my question, the gentleman did say that the principal could be withdrawn, but that I didn't know was also not subject to both the five-year holding period and the retirement age of 59 and a half. So that would be my bottom line question. But that's what you said. So I guess I was, I got my answer, I guess.
Well, the IRA used for education purposes is there's no penalty on a regular IRA or a Roth. But it is taxable income if a parent were to draw that or a child draw out of an IRA, even for education purposes. There is no 10% penalty, but think about the Roth. There's no 10% penalty on drawing that either for education purposes, for the cost of education. Now, think about this. If there's no gain on the Roth, it's non-taxable, then you've avoided any tax on that versus the regular IRA. So that's one of the best places to have money for education purposes for students who need that for generally you're thinking college, okay?
So that's contributions you can take out tax-free as well as?
As well as gain. Now, again, on the Roth, the gain is not taxable for education purposes, okay?
Got it.
There is no time limitation on that, to be clear.
Is that okay, Lucia?
Well, that provision is what, I haven't read the rule for 10 years, so maybe something changed. But my reading of the Roth a long time ago was, since it's specifically for retirement purposes, that any withdrawal is not permitted until retirement age. So that's why I didn't understand the Roth, using the Roth for education purposes confused me. But I'd have to corroborate what was just said by a provision or reading of the tax code. It may have changed in the last 10 years, but I never connected the Roth with usage for education by a person that's under the retirement age.
Correct, and that would be direct from Ed Slott. We'd be happy to make that copy available to you if you want to call our office.
Okay? Well, thank you. Yeah, that it's always good to hear a piece of good news, but also to have the confidence by seeing where it is in the IRS code.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Lucia in Bel Air. What's the number over there, Shay, at Prout Financial Design?
947-3992.
947-3992.
So the Roth IRA basics and the list of the ways to draw money without having to pay a penalty and or taxes is available for those who might like it. Just call our office. Sometimes these can be more liquid than what you might have thought otherwise. And why would anyone want to avoid tax? Mm-hmm. And given the change in the tax law, that's what we're talking about. Some of these changes in the Roth conversions, you can't undo a conversion now. That's a change from the tax law of 17. So previously, you could undo a conversion. You changed your mind. I know no one ever changes their mind, right?
But never.
If you did change your mind previous in 2017, you could say, we made this conversion. We want to recharacterize that conversion. And we have until October of 18 to do that. Well, for those who made that in 17, you can still do that until October of 18. But this year, for any of those who wanted to undo a conversion, you can't. So you have to be doubly sure that the conversion that you're making makes financial sense for you. Okay?
All right. Let's go to Michael is calling in New Retirement Radio from Traverse City, Michigan. Hello, Michael.
Good morning.
Good morning.
When you say for education withdrawal, okay, we have tuition, we have books, the obvious. Does that include like boarding, meal plans, insurances at the colleges, any of those items?
Tuition, fees, books, most all of it, yes.
Okay, yes. So, I mean, housing at the college would be one thing. Let's say it's outside boarding. Does that count?
Ooh, that's a great question. I do not know that. I do not know. I believe that those have to be directly related to the school itself. But that's something we can easily check out.
Okay. Bean counters and rules makers parse their words. So.
Yes. Understanding the rules of the road, that's a good one. Yep.
All right. So that one, I don't know, but you can.
If you'd like, call our office. We can certainly clarify that for you. Good question.
All right.
We have a phone call.
We have Bill from Mancelona for Dennis Prout. Good morning, Bill.
Yes, good morning. I was always under the impression that to open any IRA, you had to have income. And when you made the comment about parents gifting a child with $5,000, I thought that they had to have income coming in.
Thanks for the clarification. That's why you always confirm this with an advisor personally. I was referring to those minors who have earned income.
Oh, okay.
But I did not state it. Uh-huh. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
They have to have the income first.
They do. Yep. For you, in order for you to gift that to their Roth.
So if Junior's working at a restaurant earning money, you can gift them.
Earns $2,000 for the year. A parent could or a grandparent could theoretically gift that money and fund a Roth IRA for that child.
Got it. For the same amount.
For the same amount, up to that amount.
Right.
$500, $1,000, obviously $2,000 in that case. Okay?
Right.
Thanks for the point. Great.
Sure. Thank you, Bill, from Mancelona. Appreciate the call there. About 11, make that 10 before the top of the hour.
That's why when you're listening to this show or any other show related to finance, clarify that, as Lucia did.
Yes.
So, from Bel Air. Now, the ways in which one may avoid the 10% early distribution penalty. Number one, this is plans, IRAs, SEPs, and simple IRAs, death, disability, annuitizing, which we won't go into right now, medical expenses, an IRS levy. Now, don't take the money out early. The IRS has to levy the account. Qualified reservist and Roth IRA conversions all avoid the 10% penalty. And what else? Higher education expenses for IRAs only, including SEP and simples. Higher education expenses avoid the 10% penalty.
But they don't clarify what education expenses are.
Correct.
Somewhere deep in some IRS tome, it's probably clarified.
It is. Probably Pub 590, which we can get for those who want that detail. First-time home buyers and health insurance if you are unemployed.
Okay.
All avoid the 10% penalty. Early withdrawal penalty. For those inquiring minds who would like to know.
Got it.
So that's an addition. On the education expenses, I don't know when that was added, but it's been added, and it is part of the list. and check it twice.
This is another reason to meet with a financial advisor, because so many of these things are subjective with your situation, what's happening, all the dynamics and family and accounts. And
you're right. Now, another reason not to convert is you're worried about losses. If you're worried about the loss related to the Roth, it's especially difficult to incur a loss. Losses in a traditional IRA are shared with Uncle Sam because you don't have to pay the tax on the withdrawal. From the Roth IRA, losses are not shared. They're totally borne by you because that money is now non-taxable. The only way you benefit is if that account continues to grow. So you may want to be more conservative on the Roth IRA, as well as definitely needing generally to be longer-term thinking on those investments. Let them go down as well as up, hopefully. Now, one of the other concerns is a conversion may raise what are called stealth taxes. Raises income for that year, benefits that exist at lower income levels might lose value. This includes tax breaks for college, 20% pass-through for businesses. There may be extra payments you have to make for Medicare. Mm-hmm. Medicare, normally $135 or so a month. If your income goes to certain limits, then your Medicare insurance premiums go up as well. So those are the stealth taxes that might be involved, not necessarily all-inclusive. Be aware of those. Consult with your tax advisor, all right? If you need the IRA assets sooner rather than later, it's something that you're spending down. Okay. It may not make sense. Then another good point, you make IRA donations to charity anyway. Those RMDs, if they're going to be going 100% to charity, man, in that case, seriously reconsider converting money to the Roth. The QCD, the qualified charitable distribution from the Roth, from the IRA, rather, you're allowed to contribute through your IRA up to $100,000 per year to that charity. Wow. And it's beyond your RMD. If your RMD, your required minimum distribution in that year, is $11,000, you can your church has a building program, and you say, oh, my gosh, I'd love to give them some more money for that plan, for that thing that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You can give up to your RMD and beyond that up to $100,000 any given year. In that case, for instance, $25,000 can come out of your IRA to your church through the QCD that year. Bam, totally non-taxable.
Wow.
On a much better check to write than a non-deductible check, because you already have the standard deduction in your tax.
You don't get on your taxes, though, a deduction for a charitable contribution, do you?
You don't get that deduction because it was never included in income in the first place, okay. Indeed, if it is a QCD. Now, the rule, the requirement on that is you have to be 70 and a half. It's not the year in which you turn 70 and a half. You have to be 70 and a half. So, Shay, what year will you be 70 and a half?
In forever.
See? So some people, it's just too far out. But for those who are going to be 70 and a half, something to consider, and or over that age, obviously. 85 years old. You want to make the gift for generations? You may want to consider the QCD as a possibility for that.
Well, we usually do a show about that every fall.
Yes.
Because we're getting close to the end of the year and the holidays, when people are in the spirit of giving.
Stop pushing things.
It's amazing.
Slow down.
Sorry.
It's amazing the amount of things you can do with what there is given these retirement accounts. And my gosh, name, if you can at all costs, the primary and contingent beneficiaries on those accounts, both primary and second beneficiaries. It gives those people so much more flexibility in how they might pass that money on. Whether it's to children, grandchildren, if they're a second beneficiary and you want to bypass a portion of that to give to them for their education, you receive that from mom or dad. Is that powerful? Yes. Then they receive a part of the inheritance and they pay the tax at their bracket. Thank you very much,
Thank
Susie.
You very much.
So cool, eh?
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's PROUT financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes,